The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
It's wonderful to be with you this morning. As we reflect back on the events of October 7, 2023, we remember the horror, the shock that came across to so many in the world. You know, the violence and the torture that was perpetrated and experienced was repulsive. And the unfolding chain of events since then has brought more deaths, more horror, and more destruction. And every day we're seeing headlines catapulted up on the front, telling us the latest thing that has happened. What we've seen is this conflict has revealed people's compassion and their rage. It's revealed people's political ideologies and their theological diversities. And it's caused street marches, it's caused political stoushes, it's caused online vitriol, as well as personal arguments. There's some interesting research that's been recently conducted by Lifeway Research. They surveyed people who self-identified as believers in Jesus Christ. In other words, these are people who said, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. That research was published in Christianity Today. And it showed that among Christians, the biggest influence on their thinking about the conflict between Israel and Palestine has been the media. 44% say the media informs their view more than anything else. And only 27% could say the Bible informed their view. While we are informed by the media, we must be guided by the Word of God. And so today I want to frame what we're going to hear and share in today through the words of Scripture from Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 to 16. And here Paul is speaking to the church. And today's message is one to the church of today. And Paul starts in Colossians 3 from verse 11 saying, "Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." When he starts by saying there is no Gentile or Jew, he means that there should be no racial divide. Because you see, formerly, the Jews and the Gentiles hated one another. We've seen that in previous weeks as I've been talking about experiences between those who were Jews and those who were Samaritans. And those who had a following of who the Lord was and those that didn't. But Paul is saying, if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, let your focus be on Christ, not your racial differences. Next of all, he talks about the circumcised and uncircumcised. This means there should be no religious divide. Because the early church struggled as to whether or not Christians should continue to uphold the Jewish tradition of circumcision or not. Whether it was a religious issue or was it a faith issue. And again, Paul says, don't divide over this issue of religion. Focus on seeing Christ in all. And the third one he addresses is barbarian and Scythian. Here he's talking about culture. Because you see, barbarians are the people who did not speak Greek. The Scythians were a group of barbarians who were considered to be particularly uncouth and uncultured. And so he's saying here, do not let culture drive a wedge between you, but allow Christ, who is all and is in all. And then lastly, he talks about slave or free. He's talking here about social standing. He's talking about that there should be no difference between those in the upper echelon of society with financial wealth versus those in the lowest socioeconomic grouping. What mattered was that people would see Christ in each other. You know, it is too easy to allow racial, religious, cultural or socioeconomic issues to bring heated discussion and even division. But Paul says, whenever you meet together, meaning in our context, when you meet at church, whether you meet in a life group, whether you meet socially, Focus on the reality that Christ is all and is in all. In other words, don't see people as a supporter or advocate or an opponent to be converted over a racial, religious, cultural or socioeconomic issue. Now, does that mean we shouldn't discuss such things? No, it doesn't mean that at all, because we should discuss such things. Verse 16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another." We don't use that word admonish very much today, but the word admonish means to warn, to advise, or to even reprimand someone earnestly. In other words, it means that there are times we need to have robust conversations. But when we have those robust conversations, we can do that. We can admonish one another and still love one another. Now, that all might sound very good in principle. What's it look like in reality? Well, Paul addresses that in these middle verses. From verses 12 to 14, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." In other words, when we are having discussion on earthly things, even those with a spiritual dimension, be compassionate, be kind, be humble, be gentle, be patient. And this means that you just don't take the time to provide your perspective, but you take time to patiently listen to someone else's perspective. It means that if you are offensive, realize it and ask forgiveness. It means that if you are offended, take it to God and ask Him to help you overcome that offense, and where necessary, seek forgiveness. And then over all of those virtues, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Overarching that, put on love. Be loving one another. Love one another. Because this brings us together in unity, despite our differences that there might be in terms of race, religious nuances, culture, or social standing. And then finally, we pray for peace. And so Paul addresses this when he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful." We desire peace. We pray for peace. And what this shows us is true peace will only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Christ is all and is in all. Today we're going to hear from two remarkable ladies who understand the history and culture of being Palestinian or Jewish. They're women of deep faith in God, with a demonstrated love for God, their neighbour, and one another. And so first of all, let me introduce Helen Habash. Helen's been part of our church family, pardon me, for many years. And I know I and many others have been richly blessed by Helen's wisdom and life experiences. Helen grew up in Palestine, as we will hear, as did her ancestors. She has many family and friends still there and travels back there to spend time with them. Would you please welcome Helen as she shares with us?
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Ooh, I am on. Thank you, Andrew. And I need to thank him again, because you were not here for the 8 o'clock one. So you would not think I have no manners. Thank you for being here. You know what? In life, we experience many things, good and bad. Some we choose to do it ourselves, and some by others, because of politics or social. It hurts when it is done by others and we are the victims. God gave us the freedom as a Christian to choose and take action. Do I surrender? and people feel sorry for me, or do I do something about it? I was born in Jaffa, which is called Joppa in the Bible, the city where Jonah was to go to Nineveh, where it is Iraq today, but he chose to disobey God and wanted to go to Tarshish, which is Spain today. In 1948, the first Arab-Israeli war, we left Jaffa, became refugees, and settled in the city of Ramallah. In 1967, which is also known by a seven-day war, the second Arab-Israel war. And when I say Arab and Israel, I'm talking about all the Middle East, all the Arabs against Israel. But Dad at this time decided not to move and raise white flag like the others and surrender. In 1966, my husband, who is resting in peace and who was working with the World Health Organization and carrying the United Nations passport, came and we got married. And then I was given a permission for 2 weeks to cross the border and go to Jordan. And if I did not return, that means I would not be allowed in. In another word, become homeless. But we hope things will be better and conflict will stop. With my husband's job, we traveled to too many countries and we lived in many countries. But in 1972, we were moved to work in the Solomon Islands and to live in Honiara. And in Honiara, when people knew that I was a Christian, they invited me for Bible study. So I used to go to the Bible study in the morning on Thursday, and one of the ladies was Edna Nash. And then I heard of the other one on Monday night, which was for everyone, and it was led by her husband, Ed Nash. When we were living in the Solomon Islands as well as in the other countries, always people will ask us, when are you going on leave? I could never answer because we didn't know. We had to wait for a permit to be able to go to home. A permit from the Israel government. Then the WHO decided to make things easier for us because according to the law at that time when my husband was employed, that you must go home every 2 years for at least 2 weeks before you can go anywhere else. So the UN gave us another temporary passport just to get in to Israel, visit the family on the other side, and leave. And as soon as we leave, we have to handle that temporary UN passport so we will not be in trouble, politically or social. I grew up in the Eastern Orthodox Church, which is like the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox or the Ukrainian, or, you know, all this one. I was grown up in that one. And my father was a man of faith. So in our home, there was a shelf and Dad had to put all the icons and put an oil lit lamp for 24/7. And on Saturday night, when we have the fellowship together, he will use the incense. And that's because the second day is Sunday, so we prepare ourselves. In 1982, we were transferred to Papua New Guinea to live in Port Moresby. And when we moved to Port Moresby, I asked God, which church do you want me to go to? Going to Port Moresby International High School to take my daughter to school, there was the Uniting Church, next to it, St. Martin Anglican Church, then St. Joseph Catholic Church, and then the Baptist Church. So I stopped and I looked at the sign of the St. Martin, and it says, to know Christ and to make him known. I said, that's it. Father Bill, who is resting in peace, God had put him in my life. So if I needed any question, I will go to Father Bill and he will explain it to me. Reading Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, especially verse 29, I find it very hard to accept. If someone hits you on the right, turn the other cheek. I had to think again. So I went to Father Bill. I said, Father Bill, I cannot. I am not weak. Someone hits me on the right, I turn the other cheek. I'm going to give him in the face. Well, you maybe you don't understand. Homeless, have a family we can't visit at any time. Hearing all the news, the hatred, the anger. It's all there. It's all there. An Israeli family joined the team in Port Moresby, Rina and Eli Dekel. And the WHO representative wife, she invited all of us to meet the newcomer. Should I go or should I not go? All in the team are from different nationalities. I am the only Palestinian and I'm the only one confessed to be a Christian. Then I decided to go, just to be kind and nice. Yes. So when we were at the meeting, God had a plan I was not ready for, not aware of. A phone call came to Rina. You better go home. Your shipment had arrived and they will deliver it soon. Well, I'm the only one who lives in that suburb. So I thought I'll use my lips and I offer a lift, hoping she will say no. Because I couldn't see myself sitting with that lady who is a Jew, Israeli, and I'm Palestinian with all what is happening. So I said, I can take Rina home. She accepted. Oh, no, Lord. Rina accepted that. And as we were, I was driving, I said to Rina, Rina, now with your shipment here, you might need some tools. Hammer, screwdriver. No. She said, Helen, we are okay. I said, that's it. Just word, but not really meaning it. And then as I was saying goodbye to her, I said, oh, by the way, Rina, if you needed anything, just give me a call. Again, just word, but not really. She took that word. A few days later, she rang me. She said, Helen, you said that you will help me if I need help, because she didn't have a car. I said, oh, yeah, I will. She said, I'm looking for curtains. I'll take you there. So I did. The curtain shop, the lady was serving us, and she was Australian. And Rina, a bit fussy about what she wanted to buy, the color and this and that. So the lady after a while, she said, oh, you two ladies, you speak with a different accent. I said to her, yeah, I am a Palestinian, but she's an Israeli. Rina, who was mature in age, very, very diplomatic, she responded immediately. And she said, but we are friends. Really? We are friends. I took Rina home, went back. I said, all right, I did it. You know, 1, 2, 3, lip word, nothing from here. few days later, being a very caring team, the WHO rep wife, she rang us and she said, Rena is very ill and she's in bed. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I baked a cake to be on the safe side, no kosher or whatever. I took the cake and I went into Rena's home. Knock on the door, her youngest son, who goes to the same school as our eldest daughter, Joyce, opened the door, but he left it only this much. And he said, you wait here. So Rena had a son with her and a daughter in the army. And he came back and he said, my mother asked you to come with me to her room. So I walked into her room and I looked at Rena. She was very, very ill. And I felt so sorry for her. But I couldn't do much. Well, in 1988, we were accepted to come to Australia, sponsoring ourselves. And the team had given us a farewell to say all the best in Australia. And I said, hallelujah, I am not homeless anymore. Rena came to me and she said, Helen, you're very lucky. I said, Rena, you are Abraham's daughter. Just pray. Well, in Australia, I used to go to the camp with Rangeville Community Church. I loved going to women's camp, and I'm reading it from my memoir because I don't want to miss anything. It was so fresh then, right? And I decided I would go whenever I could, for nothing prepared me for what God had planned for me at this camp in Canundra, which was run by the Evangelical Sisters of Mary. The camp at Canundra was an outreach of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary from Camden, Sydney. I had heard years earlier about Mother Cecilia Schlink, who founded the movement in Germany after World War II. In fact, I read a book written by Mother Cecilia. In the morning, we were encouraged to, at the camp, to sit and meditate on the Word of God individually. But I had my friend Hikmet, was her name, who was Egyptian, spoke not a word in English. So we were sitting together and reading and meditating. While Hikmet and I were reading, one of the ladies greeted us and introduced herself. My name is Eileen, she said, with an American accent. She offered us some pamphlet and said, there is a stall with good books here at the camp. We thank her and I offered to pay, but she said, no, please accept them as a gift. At lunchtime, Eileen asked to join us at the table. Since she asked us both, we would do, where do we come from? That was her question. Where do we come from? I said, Hikmet is from Egypt and I am a Palestinian. She said, I am American. Then she asked us when we became a Christian. I said, Hikmet is a Coptic Christian. Like her ancestors, Christianity has been there in Egypt right from the beginning. As for me, it is the same. In Palestine, Christianity has been there since the master time. But even though I was born as a Christian in a Christian home, I really gave my life to the Lord just a few years ago. What about you, Eileen? She was quiet for a while, and then she said, I am a Jew. but I found my Messiah through reading the Bible. Is that okay with you? I said, of course. Then she was quiet again and said, when I tell people I am a Christian Jew, they do not welcome me. I looked at her, and in my spirit, I wept. I was trying to hide my feelings, but that was more than I could do. As if a tap has lost its washer, streams of tears ran down my face faster than I could wipe them away. Eileen and Hikmat both stopped eating and asked me, what is the matter? I could not talk for a long time. Ladies at both sides of us noticed that something was happening. We left the table. Since it was a free afternoon, I told Hikmat the whole story. She felt sorry for Eileen and said, Helen, I never thought she would be rejected by people because of her background. The teaching from the sisters had a great impact on me. In bed all night, I was thinking and meditating on their teaching about forgiveness. On Sunday morning, as we gathered in the hall, Hikmat was sitting on my right, and on my left was an empty seat. I looked behind, and my eyes connected with Eileen, who was sitting at the back. I motioned to her to come and sit next to me. Thank God she did. The sermon was about standing in the gap on behalf of our nation, asking God to forgive our countries for what they did to each other. The sister gave an example about Germany and what the German did with the Jew. When communion was offered, we were to pass the bread and the wine to each other. I said to Eileen, you and I will dip the bread in the cup together. This we did, and then I said to Eileen, Shalom in Jesus' name. We both hugged each other, and we cried and we cried. Every time when I read this, forgive me, it is still raw. But it's tears of happiness and freedom and joy. Nothing else. We knew the lady, sorry, I need to wipe my tears. I can't see because I'm not wearing glasses. I just had my cataract and things go a bit fuzzy. So Eileen and I, we did greet each other. We both hugged each other and cried for a while. The ladies around us did not know what was happening, but later they told me. We knew there was something happening later on, they told me. At the end, I said, Eileen, let us move to the front for prayer. When the sister saw us, she did not ask any question, but she looked at us and said, the angels in heaven are singing. I knew that. That released more tears. And then I felt so free. I had such a love for Eileen. I know that I used to have a good The relationship with Rena and Eli Dekel in Port Moresby, and I thought I had made peace with them, peace with the Jew. But I think what happened at Calandra was baptism for total cleansing by the Holy Spirit of my hatred for the Jew. I have a question for you all, which is a question for myself as well. What did David ask God in Psalm 51? What did King David ask God in Psalm 51? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and let the right spirit within me. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen, for sharing such powerful and meaningful words with us. More than words, her very heart. I'd like to introduce Azura Tarazi. Azura has spoken to the lives of many of us since she's come into this city recently. And we've been really blessed by Azura's passion for the Lord and her insights as a Messianic Jew. And so would you please welcome Azura to come and share with us this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you again. Okay. Can you hear me? Oh. Again, it's a, I don't even know how to say it. I said honor in the morning. I'm saying it again. I've never, in my life, I spoke again, you know, doubling my words, and I hope I'm going to repeat it well because I don't have anything written. The experience that Helen had with those Jewish women or the people that she's been impacted mightily. That's the blessing of God over her life. And I'm so grateful that I can be in her life myself. We do get along very well with Helen. She's been in my house. There is no Jew and Gentile, that's for sure. So once we become born again and spirit-filled, our ways of thinking is automatically must change, which means that the carnal mind that once we used to dwell on no longer exists because we are a new creation in Christ, Yeshua Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, self-discipline. These are the things that we need to focus much more than anything else. To reflect the love of Christ and the blood of Yeshua Jesus that washes us from all unrighteousness. So I born in Hungary. I'm a Hungarian woman. My husband was Romanian. We came to Australia in 1989. I got saved in 1990, praise God, in a church in Western Australia, Perth, called Potter's House Fellowship. I was there for about 6 years. In this time, my marriage has fallen apart, unfortunately. My ex-husband became a pilot, and he left me with 4 little children. We'd made it very difficult for me at that time. And by the grace of God, he opened new opportunity. There was a new congregation that came to Perth, Western Australia. It's called Olive Tree Tabernacle, which I was part of it, because God opened up all the Jews together to that fellowship. And from that day onwards, my life was never the same again. With that in mind, there is a bit of problem up to this very day. Unfortunately, some of the Jewish people, the Messianic Jews, that they come to the Lord, I think it's to do with pride. You know, it would be, sometimes they would, you know, it would come across as, we Jews, you Gentiles, which is very wrong. But it's getting better now. We're talking about 20 years ago. It was a lot of discussions, even in a home fellowship that we used to have. And sometimes some of our Jewish sisters, especially one of them, I'm not going to mention names, there's no need for that. But, you know, people used to say, if she's coming, we're not coming. So, you know, we are called, regardless if we are a Jew by birth or Jew by spirit or Greek by birth or Greek by the Spirit, is to be an example for the community, which you guys, you all are. I am very new in Toowoomba. I only been here since September last year. And I lived in Melbourne for 10 years. I lived in Western Australia over 20 years, and I lived in Israel for 12 years. So I have to say that Toowoomba is a very special place. Maybe you don't see it like that because you don't travel or you haven't been involved in people's life maybe as much as I did, because I traveled a lot in my life and I've been involved with a lot of different groups of Jews and non-Jews and all that. But what I came to the conclusion that when I gave my life to Christ, at that moment something happened to my life. This new creation that Yeshua, Jesus, is talking about, it's something I cannot describe, and I'm sure you can resonate with that because we all feel the same. When God touches us and we say, He touched me, something happens in us. This nastiness and this, not evil, I was never an evil woman, but maybe greed or jealousy, it's peeling away from our lives when we are coming into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. And my focus is most of the time in the fellowship. I have also home fellowship that God permit me to have in my house, is that focusing upon the love of Christ within us. I think it's extremely important that we pray for Palestine and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the most important thing that was given to us by God Himself through His Son Jesus is to love one another, to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So I would like to read a scripture to you because it touches me every time I read these scriptures. It means a lot to me. This is from Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. And this is what it says. Thank you, Father, for the integrity of your word. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between the one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Well, the scripture is clear that God is always on the side of the righteous, not the wicked. So in regards to Israel and Palestine, we have to remember one thing, and I'm sure you're all aware of that. Most of the Jews, unfortunately, still at this stage, is that they still in the law of Moses, which means eye for eye, tooth for tooth. When we go on the other side of the Palestinians, obviously they have their Muhammad, I don't know, I'm not sure what they serve, but both sides, it's not working. Why? Because in the middle is not Christ. So if you are not born again, we can't expect anything better than what it is to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all, that's the outcome of it. So it, no matter how much we pray, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but really there is a big problem. And what Jesus says is that keep your eye, pick up your cross and follow me. don't look left, don't look right, just follow me. These things, a lot of things that comes against us must happen, but you stay still and know that I am God. So when we read the scriptures and we meditate upon that and we apply it to our lives, then your way of thinking is going to be very different, because we must take the word in consideration and meditate and eat the word of God. This is what we're going to do here. When we take the bread, we eat the word of God. This is what we believe. Taking the word became flesh. So when we take the bread today, it's because we eating, take and eat. This is my body, which was given for you. This is a powerful thing to what we're doing here, to proclaiming. This is a holy ground when we take the bread and the wine. But going back to what I said, I'm going to have another scripture, because I love the words of the Lord. And I know all of you, otherwise you wouldn't be here. This is from Matthew 8:11. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. This is our Lord, Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. For there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord said another thing about the Gentiles. He said, the Lord said, that many Gentiles, in Matthew 8:11, that's right, this is what the Lord said, that many Gentiles will sit at the table with the patriarchs, which is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So that is, what a hope is there? To sit with the patriarchs. So it's not as matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or a Greek or not a Greek, or a Russian or not Russian. Who cares? We are a nation. We are belonging to a royal line through the blood of Yeshua Jesus. What an honor to be called children of the Most High God. Another thing that the Lord revealed to me, one night I was in prayer and the Lord said, every person that accepts Jesus Christ in their lives as a Savior, they are a gift from the Father to the Son. So I thought of that. I am a gift to the Son. Right. I'm a gift. So how precious I must be if I'm a gift from the Father to the Son. So that really touched my heart, and I wanted to share that with you, because such a beautiful words. The word of God must we eat, we must drink from the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Again, I'm bringing this prayer before you, Holy One of Israel. This is a very special group of people where your name, they're accepting it. And they love you, Lord. This fellowship, this Rangeville Community Center, it's a very special place. I feel a very special place here in my heart, because they welcome you. They welcome the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. This is the real true God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I pray today with the blessing that you have bestowed upon my life. I pray for my sister Helen, first of all, because she gave her testimony. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you will bless her abundantly more than she can imagine. But in the same mannerism for the Father God, and I say with reverence in my heart, Almighty God, that with the blessing that you bestowed upon each one of us, me to them and they to us, Father, I pray that you will bless them with spiritual blessings. That they will see the glory of the Most High God. That they will see the coming of Yeshua the Messiah, the King of righteousness, who carries healing in his wings. We have the hope of glory in us. Father, we thank you here as a group of people. Father, we thank you for this city. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every believer that walks with you. Father, I thank you for the precious blood of Yeshua and for the Holy Spirit that you said you will never leave us, never forsake us, but you leave the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, who will lead us and guide us in all the truth. And he will be for us, with us forever. So because of for you, Holy One, we bow before you in spirit, Father God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for Andrew, for his faithfulness and kindness and the love for the Jewish people and the Palestinians. I pray, Lord, that he will be blessed and continue to bless his flock, that he's very careful and taking care of it. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel will be upon this gathering. And every family here to be blessed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.